Okay, so now this week we have an interesting combination that doesn't always happen. Happens, but not always. We have Tisha B'Av that occurred 2 days ago, and that leads into Tu B'Av of the 15th of the day of Av. And maybe they are connected. Obviously, we believe the entire Jewish calendar every year is connected, so much so that the rabbis and Rashi explain how Pesach follows Purim, even though that's almost a new year, and even though the story of Purim happened a couple thousand years after Pesach, very odd. Maybe 1,000 years after Pesach. And yet we say Pesach follows Purim, because we've discussed in this class many times how the calendar year is connected, how the rabbis set the holidays up is connected to each other. So even though the events in real time occurred separate points in history, we connect them. So today we have the idea of Tes B'Av and Tu B'Av. Now, the Gemara in Tainus on 30b gives several reasons for the great holiday of Tu B'Av. Equal. So Yom Kippur is a great holiday. So we know how Michael celebrates Yom Kippur holiday, and we're not going to ask him how he celebrates Tu B'Av holiday. But what's so special about Tu B'Av? Here goes Art Scroll's third reason. There are more than that. Art Scroll's third reason says, Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon says, it was the 15th of Av was the days that those destined to die in the wilderness finished dying. For Mar said, so long as those destined to die in the wilderness did not finish dying, God did not communicate with Moses. Art scroll on bottom. After the spies returned from the journey to Israel, they discouraged the people from attempting to enter land. God swore that all the men between ages 20 and 60 would die by the time they reached 60. So here, clearly, we have a connection. Oh, art scroll says, every year, each man at that age, what happened? How did they all die? Good question. When did they die? How did they die? Yes. You want me to stop? Oh, I thought you said it like this. When did they die and how did they die? Here it says. I don't know if you knew this. We discussed a few years ago by Miriam's death. Every year, each man in that age group of 20 to 60 dug a grave on the eve of Tisha B'Av and laid down and went to sleep in a grave. Empty grave. On the eve of Tisha B'Av. Went down to sleep. The next morning, an announcement was made. Anyone who's alive, stand up and join us. All those who survived would rise and leave their graves. The grim scenario occurred year after year. However, when the announcement was made in the 40th year, everyone got up, thus arousing the suspicion that they had erred in calculating the date of Tisha B'Av. They figured they had the wrong calendar. They didn't have clocks, they didn't have atomic clocks. What did they do? So they thought maybe they had the wrong time. And Tisha B'Av, when they all went down the last year, they dug the grave, they went in, they all came out. So they figured if they came out the next day, there must be something wrong. So it says like this. However, what they did was they returned to the graves and they slept there every night until the 15th of the month. 15th of the month. A full moon, 15th of the month every year, every month, 15th of the month, full moon, they realized they made a mistake, and really they survived the decree. So you want to know a connection between Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av? Unbelievable connection, which we have this year in the same week. Not always to come out the same week, sometimes. But if Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday, Tu B'Av is on a Shabbos within the same week, and we have a major connection to the Gemara. The celebratory reason why Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, is a major holiday in the Jewish calendar year is because during the year, there's a desert. All the people who had passed away died on the 9th of Av. The last year they survived, but they didn't know they survived, and therefore they only found out on the 15th of Av. That's the simple version of what Rashi is saying. And then it says, although God has announced that the decree would terminate after 40 years, nevertheless, God forgave the Jews in the last year of the wilderness, and those destined to die that year survived. So the obvious mathematical equation would be we had 600,000 men over 40 years dying. Basic math, 15,000 a year passed away. The last year, the 15,000 people did not pass away. They got up. We spoke about it a few years ago that it says on RabbiHub.com, because Charles likes when I do that. On RabbiHub.com, you can see it says by Miriam that it says that Miriam died and they buried her. Is that a big deal? Someone dies, that's the custom in Jewish law, mitzvah in Jewish law. Obligation is to bury people who die. We don't cremate, right? So what do you mean Miriam died and they buried her? Obviously they buried her. And the Talmud learns major laws from this phrase that seems extra. She died and they buried her. What's the point? Obviously they buried her. So one of the explanations that a late rabbi says, 300 years ago, he says, no, I'll tell you why. She was the first person who died and then got buried. Because the rest of the people in the desert got themselves a grave and then they died. Because it says every year they would dig the grave. They would all go into the grave and lie down. And then every year, according to the basic math, 15,000 people didn't stand up. So 15,000 people didn't stand up. They dug the grave and then they died. That's how the rabbis say. But this year, the last year was different. We also connect it to this week's parsha.
Rabbi, Rabbi, question for you.
Salute.
That was only the men that were in dug the graves. What about women? Women had to die when they were in the wilderness, and they had to be buried, not just Miriam.
Okay, so Stephen, if everyone didn't hear, has this very good question that maybe it makes sense to say that everyone dug the grave first and then they died because the men. But the decree in the desert was might not have been applicable, almost for sure not applicable to the females. What happened during the 40 years of the desert? The females, Miriam wouldn't have been the first one if the females passed away to have died and then been buried. So that becomes a question we did discuss a long, 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 long time ago, that it's very possible to say that the women and the people under 20 and the people over 60, when that event occurred, did not pass away in the desert. Why we discussed it years ago was because we said that that would have been, and I remember, Stephen, I'll remember what you said. Well, I'll repeat it. That, what does it mean that she was the first one who died then got buried? What about all the women? So we once spoke about this, that it almost for sure, the women who did not cry, the boys under 20 who don't get punished, the men over 60, whatever reason, they were not punished, and therefore all of those people survived the years in the desert. And when we spoke about it at the time, we said, and what Stephen said then, if you remember, Stephen, your own self, is that after World War I, there was a surplus, I don't know what the word, he didn't use that word for sure not, there was a surplus of women and not men as far as eligible bachelors. People, because the World War I, the first great war, killed a lot of men and not a lot of women and became a surplus. And we spoke then years ago that at
What about
different
the
points in
war?
the history of Judaism, the same thing occurred to the Jews. And one
What
of
about?
those events might have been getting into the land of Israel, where the women would have outnumbered the men, because the men of that generation would have been wiped out. A new generation occurred, but all the women of that generation would not have been wiped out. So it's like an oddity that no one talks about, except what we spoke about in this class. Why? Because we wanted to say then that the concept of what we refer to as a shidduch crisis, I don't know what the words in English are for this shidduch crisis. Is there a word in English? No, no English phrase for that. You know what that is, right? The shidduch crisis, where the according to some, you can Google this, it's a numbers game. They want to claim that since men are usually older than the women, and the generation is producing at a higher rate, so there will be more in general across the board, 30-year-olds than 35-year-olds, 35-year-olds than 40-year-olds, and go down. And since in general there's a 1% for some reason more women than men, so you're going to have 25-year-old men trying to marry 20-year-old women, you're going to have a surplus because the 25-year-old men and 25-year-old women already there's more women, and as you go every generation down, there's more women than men. That creates a shidduch crisis, according to many. Now, and that becomes a major issue. What we have said is that that wasn't necessarily the first shidduch crisis in Jewish history. There have been many shidduch crises in history. First one was the plague of darkness, when 80%, according to many, of only men passed away. That's a massive numbers crisis. And then we said as well, in the desert, as per Stephen's World War I example from many, many years ago, there would be a surplus of women over men, and therefore the shidduch crisis, not that I'm diminishing it, but we've been there and done that, if I may say that, in a non-cold way. I mean that in a serious way. But we've been there and done that. Go.
Nobody was to die besides the man because of the miraculous.
Originally,
Nobody,
yes, the
not
original
besides,
plan was that
not
if the
me, not
spies would
the
not
man.
have done what they've done, and the Jews would not have reacted the way they'd done, we would have entered Eretz Yisrael right then, right? There was no 40-year plan. And it could be when we entered Eretz Yisrael, multiple things would have happened. Either the Messianic revelation would have kicked in, according to some, I can't answer that. Or, yes, they would have been punished. You're only punished if you do something wrong.
20 years there was no natural death that happened to other people besides Miriam.
So, the Vilna Gaon says, good question. And we discussed this in a class in a second. We'll go back to Steve. We're testing Stephen's memory today. But the Vilna Gaon says that the firstborns died on the first plague. Firstborns, first 10th plague. The 10th plague, Makkas Bechairis, the firstborns died. And no Jews died. Only the first. And therefore the Jews were excited. So the Vilna Gaon says, what do you mean no Jews died? Statistically, there's X amount of people that shouldn't someone have died? The Vilna Gaon says, no. The way that God protected to show that the Jews were successful and protected, and the non-Jews were not when they put the blood on the doorpost, was that no Jew died, even those who were scheduled to die did not die. There are definitely times in history, we discussed this going back to in 9/11. We discussed then that in 9/11, how does it work? Statistically, a lot of people obviously passed away. But were there less car accidents that day, less heart attacks that day of people not involved with the situation going on? Obviously, later on, years later, became a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, which when I said the class, then someone pointed it out to me, but that's not for now. So the idea is that it's possible to say, yes, that the natural deaths while they're in the cloud, clothing grew with them, expanded with them as they ate, food was fed to them. Well, 600,000 men died. I don't know if that's a... Besides 600,000 men digging their own graves, yes, that was an opportunistic time. Yes. Right? Yes.
But so all the other people were basically living like a Mashiach time. There was no death. They were not...
Well, how do you understand... Stephen has said multiple times. Stephen has said the reason why we had a transfer... This week's parsha, Stephen, full disclosure. This week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening. We're going to come back. Tes ba'av, tu ba'av, and this week's parsha. This week's parsha entitled Ve'eschanan is when Moshe is praying to God, let me in. And God says no. 515 prayers and God says no. And one of the questions is like, oh, come on, why not? And one of the explanations is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a leader of the Jews in an unnatural time, in a miraculous time. And Yeshua was going to take over in a natural time. And God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't lead the people. And you're a different type of leader. You need a wartime Churchill, and then a year later they threw him out. Ah, he was a victory of World War II. Before now, we say he's a war criminal. But up until 2 years ago, he's the hero. There's a war prime minister, not war prime minister. Moshe Rabbeinu led the world in a miraculous way. Now not. So yes, in the desert we were accepting, which you accept, clothing expanded, food showed up, they could X-ray vision, we discussed. No missiles could attack them because they had a blockage of this misty clouds that protected them. So I don't have a big problem saying nobody died. Sounds okay to me. It's a good thing. Now, it would also explain why the archaeologists,
people
say they don't find any artifacts in the desert. Maybe not a lot of people died there. Maybe there's not a lot of graves there.
There were people that died in the wars, huh?
In the wars? In the War of Midian, nobody died. In the War of Amalek, it says they killed a few people only. So we don't have a lot of deaths going on in the desert. From what I'm thinking of, I didn't think of this earlier, but what I'm thinking of now. So here we have the idea of Tes B'Av connecting to Tu B'Av. And now I want to also connect it, besides to the question, to the Parsha of Eschana. Moshe Rabbeinu starts davening. Now, what happened to the last 15,000 people here? Why did they die? The art scroll said, although God had announced, I mean, God said it. God said, everyone who's between 20 and 60 is going to die. Although God had announced that the decree would terminate after 40 years, nevertheless, God forgave the Jews in the last year. That's a big statement. So the rabbis explain, the Musa rabbis explain like this, that every year when the guy dug a grave, you were there.
Year, there were 100% people going to die.
Correct. So every year you dig a grave, not you, the people in the desert, they go in there and it's 600,000, 585, 570, right? Well, he doesn't know his math. This is becoming it. So what happens is, as this is going on, every year, when the guy's praying, I don't want to be the one to die, he's got a chance. You know what? 15,000 die a year. We got 300,000 people. I like my odds. 90,000 people. I like my odds. 45,000. Everyone thinks they're winning a lottery ticket. But the last year, there's only 15,000 people left, and 15,000 guys got to die. When you're getting into that grave, you know what you're thinking? This is it. So that prayer becomes a much stronger prayer, because that's a real prayer. That's foxhole, real foxhole, not fake foxhole. They're always in the foxhole, but they're thinking I have a chance. Now you're in the foxhole with no chance. So that prayer became so good, doesn't say it here, and therefore the last 15,000 were accepted. So we're going to ask a bomb question. We're going to get it on Shabbos. How about multiple answers, over 10 answers already. A very serious question. So Moshe Rabbeinu walks in now, and he's telling God, listen, God, I want in on this. I want to get to Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about it a couple years ago, Stephen pointed out. I want to get to Eretz Yisrael even as a private citizen. Like I said before, from Stephen, Moshe Rabbeinu can't be the leader when we're in a natural world. He's only miraculous world. Moshe Rabbeinu told God, you know what? I don't want to be the leader. I'll go in as a regular human being. That was one of his prayers. I want to get there to Israel. And God says, no, 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 no. So the question also became, okay, you know who died that year when Moshe Rabbeinu died? Miriam died. Okay. Miriam died, we'll say, srebbehubbard.com. Miriam died before the hitting of the rock. In the hitting of the rock, there was a decree that two people couldn't enter to Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aaron. And they were both told, oh, you hit the rock, you're out. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a decree, you ain't going into Israel. He said, God, I'm praying. Aaron, we read about last week, he died at Rosh Chodesh Av. Did Aaron pray to get into Israel? He didn't care. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'll go in. By the way, one of the Midrashim says, I'll go in as a cockroach. Moshe is so desperate to touch the holiness that we fly to and he flops, but we don't understand the beauty of it. Moshe is like, I'll go in as a regular human being. I'll go in as a cockroach. I want to get in there. I understand the beauty. Aaron HaKohen didn't understand the beauty. Aaron HaKohen didn't feel it's worth davening to get into Eretz Yisrael. It's a very, very serious question. Early asked, probably the first time, by the uncle of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, 1500. He died 1575. Uncle died, I think, 1535. Toldos Yitzchak might be in the Zera Emes project. He wrote a book called Toldos, The Children of Yitzchak. His name was Yitzchak Cairo, quoted by his nephew, by the way, the great Rabbi Yosef Cairo. And Rabbi Yitzchak Cairo, who most of his stuff was lost, and he, in the beginning of the Toldos Yitzchak, he writes, since all my sons died, he was kicked out in the Spanish Inquisition, 1492. Then he went to Portugal. I don't know if everyone knows about it. It's like always the thing. No one really. 5 years later, 1492 plus five. This guy's a whiz. 1497, they all got kicked out of Portugal. It's like what I wrote about in the Zera Emes this week. There's that one guy who died a week before the massacre in Hebron. No one writes about that guy. I don't know if anyone read my Zera Emes this week. The one kid, Avram Mizrahi, Hashem Yom Kippur Damo, he was killed by the Arabs a week before the famous massacre. Now, slow down. So the idea is this. Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to get into Eretz Yisrael. Aaron, you don't think Eretz Yisrael is so impressive? You're above it? What's going on? Very serious question. Asked originally, the first one that I saw quoted, by Rabbi Yitzchak Cairo, who's early born in the late 1400s, got kicked out, so that's 1400s, and he died in the early 1500s. He asked the question, what's going on? Aaron, you don't believe you're going to get in? And there are different answers given. He himself gives more than one answer, but one of the easy answers, my answer, I think, that I want to say is this. A decree was made because you hit the rock, you ain't going to Eretz Yisrael. When Hashem makes a decree, I mean, that's gold, man. That's written gold, right? Hashem promises you wealth, you're doing okay. So it's gold. So what's Aaron going to say? Oh, by the way, God, I know you promised, but still, doesn't make any sense. Why would you do such a thing? A God promised, that's it. But when did Aaron HaKohen pass away? Rosh Chodesh Av, day one of the 5th month of Av. What happened 9 days later? 9 days later, 15,000 people went into the pit, their own graves. And 15,000 people got up. Why? Because he says correctly, real prayer, that's their answer. What does Oscar say? Although God had announced that the decree would determine it after 40 years, nevertheless, God forgave the Jews in the last year of the wilderness. And those destined to die survived Tisha B'Av. So Aaron HaKohen might have never seen this concept of decree to death. Okay, we have a way around it. We have a page 9 on the rental contract. Those little letters. Yeah, you didn't read it, Aaron. There's a way out of it. Those 15,000 people, it's there in the little letters.
Great.
Well, one answer we're going to say is the praying. Yes, one answer, which will be very good to tie all three in together. So Aaron HaKohen dies not knowing this concept. He doesn't know that you could pray and get out of it. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking around and he's like, wait a second. Tisha B'Av came. These guys got up. Okay, yeah, we got the clouds wrong. The sun is not full moon. Moon not, whatever. And then the 15th day of the month comes. We celebrate till today. I'm like, hey, party time. What's going on? Yeah, it must be, like he says, they prayed with all their heart. And they abolished a decree by God. What do you think Moshe Rabbeinu is thinking right there? I got a good idea. Light bulb goes off. You know what, God? I'm going to do the same thing. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu pray to enter Eretz Yisrael after the decree? And Aaron HaKohen didn't pray after the decree because they didn't know this concept of how much the decree would work. Once Aaron was before, Moshe Rabbeinu saw it, so it ties in this week's parasha, which almost always occurs on Tu B'Av, around them. This year, the Eschanim, we're going to read Moshe's prayer on Tu B'Av. On Tu B'Av.
That looks like so many decrees that have come from the How could you say, could you know that?
Good question. Good question. You're saying he should have known decrees could be annulled anyway. Okay. On the spot, I like the question for the camera again. What about the fact that he annulled other decrees? It could be, on the spot, I'm saying it, that when I pray for you, I could annul decree. When I pray for me, it's a lot more difficult. Because as the phrase goes in Judaism, the guy in jail can't get himself out of jail. He needs the other guy to get him out of jail. So, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu praying for 600,000 people might be a lot more acceptable, understandable, effective, good word, because it's for other people. So, every time Moshe Rabbeinu is praying, other people. Now, I want myself, my personal, I want to go into that show, even as a cockroach. That might not work. But then he saw the 15,000 people, Good point. The 15,000 people, who do they pray for? Themselves.
Or maybe I pray for him.
Yeah, okay, you could do that. Then every year should have been that way. So the only, right? You follow that? Every year they could have prayed for somebody else. It means the last year everyone was really nervous, literally foxhole. They all prayed and that worked out. We'll end with one more thing here. I will tell you this amazing idea.
Why didn't he daven for Aaron?
They should have done for each other. Got to think that through. We'll have to go with the other answers. Very good question. Why didn't Moshe daven for Aaron? Aaron daven for Moshe? We'll have to go into that. We'll have to go into that. Now, what's amazing is that on the ninth day of Av, these 15,000 people came out of the grave, literally, and said, whoa, life is good. And they're like, no, really not. Maybe the sun and the moon and that, the calendar, I got it wrong. And that, because they didn't know, I got the wrong day. I went into the grave on the eighth day of Av. They didn't realize what day it was. Then the next day they do it. By the way, that's torture. Getting into the grave every day, that's like really out of a horror film, right? And then finally one day, wait a second. Full moon, we're good to go. But you know what's beauty? During those few days, from 9 to 15, how many numbers is that? You're on fire today. Come on, you're on fire today. During those 6 days, what were they thinking? Eh, I got to do this again. Well, I don't know if I'll be accepted. But it was accepted. They didn't know that yet. It's a lesson, practical lesson for us today. A lot of times we're sitting and praying God. And we're saying, if only what? And you don't even realize God already answered you. But you didn't get the communication yet. How, when the astronaut sends the picture from Mars, I don't know how long it takes. What does it take? A week? I don't even know myself. A week at least, right? So we're getting the picture, and we're like, for a week in between, we're like, I wonder what's going on Mars. You got to pray for a picture to come. But the picture's already been sent. You just don't know about it yet. Sometimes we're sitting there. This is for us right now. Two lessons I just realized. One is, if you pray with all your might, doesn't matter if God wrote it. You can win, even for yourself. Even for yourself. It's there. The second thing is you should know that many times you already got answered for good. You don't even know it. You've been answered already. It takes you a few days to realize. The same way they're looking at the moon and saying, the moon, I don't know, the moon, maybe it's the 10th, maybe it's the 8th. They didn't realize they were answered already. But sometimes when we don't realize we've been answered, we want to be answered, we have been answered. Next Tuesday night, there will not be a class for sure.